Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is going to be a challenge. I am well aware of that. I know what this division's about. And this is exactly where we want to be. We're going to go after this thing, and it's going to take all of us in this room. It's going to take this locker room. It's nothing more important than that locker room and us serving that locker room and those players. All right? They need to understand that. They need to feel that from us every single day. And if we do that, the wins are going to come. The playoffs are going to come.
Shoot, shoot, shoot.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. There you heard the voice of Ben Johnson, the new Bears head coach. And we are delighted to welcome in John Shoup, the former Bears offensive coordinator, current head coach of the Nordic Storm, which I believe is in Copenhagen. Beautiful, beautiful Copenhagen. Wonderful town. And John joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you all?
Doing well. You're doing great.
Great to talk to you.
Are you proud of one of your that you are credited with planting the seed, the kernel of a life as a coach? And Ben Johnson, now head coach in the NFL. Are you proud of it?
Well, I'm sure happy for Ben. I'm really happy anytime, you know, one of the good guys, and Ben's one of the good guys, kind of gets an opportunity like this. He's a super person, super coach, and I'm incredibly happy for him.
So, John, take us back. You were on the North Carolina staff. Ben Johnson was a walk-on quarterback on the Tar Heel team, and you guys hit it off. What was he like as a player, and when did you know he was going to be a coach?
Yeah, it was kind of late in his career, and at that time, we had a freshman quarterback, T.J. Yates, and so I was just coming in, and Ben was a walk-on, but he was really competitive, really smart, just everything about him, you know, we all loved. It's just we were starting a new program. You know, we were a new staff there, and we decided, you know, to go with T.J. Yates, which I stand behind. T.J. had a nice career in the NFL and now coaches for the Falcons. But so Ben kind of became, you know, like a coach who was signaling. He was kind of, because at that time I was the coordinator and the quarterback's coach. And so, you know, I think the relationship between a quarterback and the other quarterbacks in the room kind of becomes close, kind of becomes intimate. And so, we became, you know, pretty close during that year, and he did a great job. I think even TJ would say it, did a great job kind of helping him navigate, you know, the nuances of a new offense. And TJ went on to have a great career at North Carolina.
I'm curious, John, what is it? What quality is it in a person that makes you believe they can be a coach, that makes you encourage them to think about that as an option in their life? I mean, by all accounts, this guy is a math major, a computer science major. It's just a different role to take on than you imagine for a football coach.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're right. Ben is highly intelligent, but he couples that intelligence with, you know, good common sense and great interpersonal skills. And in some ways, a coach is just a teacher. And I shouldn't say just, a coach is a teacher. And I think one of the most important traits that I look for in teachers and in coaches is an authoritative demeanor. And Ben has that. And it comes from, you know, knowledge. It comes from deep-seated knowledge of the game of football. And so his authority, you know, there's some coaches that, you know, I think are a bit of a veneer. You know, their knowledge of football isn't as deep as maybe some people think it is. Let me tell you something. Ben Johnson knows football inside and out. He's highly intelligent. He's an incredibly hard worker. But he couples all of that with just, you know, being a really good person, honest, hardworking. And perhaps one of the things I like, you know, most is everything Ben has gotten has been merit-based. I mean, you know, there's his family's wonderful. I mean, I live in Asheville, outside of Asheville right now, and his dad lives just down the street from me, and his sister is the assistant principal at the high school where I used to teach and my kids went. And so the whole family's wonderful, but everything Ben's achieved has been merit-based. There's no nepotism in this. And that guy's seen fire. He's seen rain in this profession and has really worked his tail off. And so I think that's where some of his authority comes from, that the people, coaches and players deeply respect.
John, I think in finding out as much as we can about Ben Johnson, reading stories, a couple different times I've seen him attribute this to you in terms of his offensive approach and the way that he has either devised game plans or put together playbooks. He says he learned from you this comment: you make this different look the same and the same look different. And you chuckle. Where did that originate, and why do you think he took that away from his time spent at North Carolina?
Well, I think, you know, deception and conflict of assignment and making the same things look different and different things look the same, those are all good mantras to have when you're trying to devise an offense. And, you know, those are certainly mantras that, you know, from 2001, Jimmy Miller and Shane Matthews would say the exact same things. And when I got to North Carolina, you know, Ben says the exact same things. I guess that's maybe pleasing that he's using some of the same mantras, but Ben's just really taken it to a different level. And, you know, he'd be the first one to say he had the privilege of just working with a great staff and great players there at Detroit. But he put those guys in just unbelievable positions. And, you know, conflict of assignment, I think that Detroit has kind of become, or was over the last couple of years, as good of a play-action team as there was. I mean, they could run the ball and play-action pass down the field as well as anybody. And that's what making the same things look different and different things look the same, that's what it is.
I'm curious, John, when you watch him and you watch his offense, and he seems like a really creative guy, and they obviously were in the top five in scoring offense over the last 3 years, including this season when they were the highest scoring team in the league. Do you recognize some of the things he's trying to get done, or has he taken the things that you did to a different level?
Well, you know, he's certainly taken it to a different level. I mean, he has exceeded, you know, I would argue any play caller, you know, of his generation. What he's done the last 3 years is just, it's spectacular. And I'll also say it was fun to watch from year one to two, two to three, how they improved, how they build on things. That was really, you know, neat to watch. Of course, all coaches, not just I, all coaches recognize concepts. You know, all coaches could probably call the plays, you know, that Ben had been calling the last couple of years. But the genius or you know, the tact, the ingenuity in it isn't just calling the plays, it's setting them up. And it is, you know, deception, making things look the same that are different and different things look the same. And that's really what Ben has mastered. And, you know, it's one thing to be a great game planner. And I think, you know, I had strength as a game planner, but I don't know that I was the best play caller in the history of the world. I was good, you know, at times, and we were good when I was at Chicago. But I think Ben's really coupling good game planning with good play calling as well.
Talking with Don Shoup, who was the offensive coordinator for the Bears from 2001 to 2003, Coach Ben Johnson as a quarterback at North Carolina. And John, I just wonder, have you spoken or communicated with Ben since he got the job? And given your experience in Chicago, which had some success, and you also know what it's like to be in the middle of the storm and in the eye of the storm getting criticized and dealing with that aspect, will you give him any advice before he coaches his first game here?
I'm sure Ben and I'll talk, you know, at some point. Like I said, his family's right here in Asheville, and you know, I try not to bother him during the season. I text more with his dad and his sister, you know, as we watch every game. You know, he and I have text back and forth, but, you know, Ben, he doesn't need any advice from me. He, like I said, he's seen fire and he's seen rain, and we've texted, and we'll, you know, I'm sure when he gets back to Western North Carolina, he and I will sit down, you know, on my front porch or, you know, meet somewhere like we have in the past. But I'm really happy for him, and Chicago should really be pleased, because he's got some mental toughness as well that will serve him well in that city. I mean, expectations are high. Mm. He knows that. And, you know, I could promise you, there's nobody that's going to call into your show that has higher expectations than Ben Johnson does, and he can handle that.
John, I'm curious. You spent so many years actually working with quarterbacks, and you know what it's like to tap into what they can do, understand what they can't do. That's part of understanding a quarterback. I'm curious, when you think about his relationship and what he's got in front of him with Caleb Williams, how does that work? How do you build that? And, you know, you mentioned that you appreciated how he built from 1 year to the next when he was in Detroit. That's going to be something you know, obviously everybody wants it to work immediately. I think play action will help Caleb Williams. We haven't seen much of that this year, his first in the NFL. How will their relationship help improve Caleb's ability?
Yeah, so I've never met Caleb Williams, so, you know, I can't speak to his personality, but I can tell you Ben kind of gets nuance, kind of gets relationships, and like I said, he's just so smart, but has the common sense and interpersonal skills to match. He'll figure out what Caleb needs, and he'll be that, whether it's pushing some days, pulling other days, you know, putting an arm around you or smacking you on the butt. Ben gets it. And again, I think the thing he brings is just such authority to the position. I mean, he's had such a great deal of success. And the other thing I'll add, you know, and I think this is important. You know, Caleb Williams now has, from the outside looking in, again, I've never met him, but has had some tough times as well. Mm. I always worry about players or coaches that have never really experienced some tough times, you know, like coaches who have never really been fired. I worry about, they think it's all them, you know. I think some of the tough times that maybe Caleb Williams has had, you know, in this past year, will actually serve him well moving forward. You know, that's where some real growth can happen. And I think Ben is just such a unique person that I think he's going to bring out the best in him. And I think Caleb could really bring out the best in Ben as well as a fan. I mean, heck, I'm sure anxious to see it. These two guys, I think, are a formidable pair. I really do. From the outside looking in, or at least half the outside looking in, this is a formidable pair.
John, not much of us in Chicago know Ben Johnson as well as you do. And so yesterday he appeared at House Hall. They sent out a clip that went viral. He was talking to the assembled all the employees at House Hall that were gathered around. And he really, I think, seized that moment. And he showed a side of him that we were curious to see. It was enthusiastic. It was energetic. He had a lot of charisma. A lot of questions exist when offensive coordinators take over as head coaches. You wonder if they can, quote unquote, command the room. How do you think Ben Johnson will command the room?
Well, like I said, everything Ben does is from authority. His knowledge of the game of football is deep. His knowledge is really over the years become wisdom. You know, players aren't stupid. They know whenever a coach gets up there and has a kind of thin idea of what the X's and O's are. If Ben is one thing, it's pure substance. It is pure substance. And I think players recognize that, and that's going to give him that authoritative demeanor that it just oozes from him. I mean, when you visit with this guy, you're like, holy moly, he knows what he's talking about. He's on point. And, you know, that to me is leadership, especially at that level. You know, there's nothing inauthentic about Ben. Authenticity, and when your knowledge is deep enough that it kind of is becoming wisdom, players are interested in listening to what you have to say. And I know when Ben talks, I listen, you know, so I think those players will.
You know, it's so wild, like the NFL and the way that it works. I remember when you were here, John, and you would be one of these coaches that would be in the office 24/7, and you developed like a close phone relationship with Sean Payton because you were both guys. I think he was at Dallas at the time. You were kind of up all night working on different things, and you meet people in the league, and you can communicate with them and develop relationships just because you're doing the same job and you're kind of working overtime at it. Is that kind of the way he rolls? Has Ben one of these workaholic guys?
Well, you know, those are questions to ask him. I can remember having conversations, you know, with Ben, you know, even on my front porch here in our farm in Western North Carolina. You know, he came about the job there with the Lions kind of similarly to the way I came about the job with the Bears, that he was an assistant on the staff. He called a few games towards the end of one season, then had to go through the interview process to kind of get the full-time job. And I had a similar situation. Gary Croton had left. I called a few games at the end of the season and had to go through the interview process. And I can remember Ben and I talking about that. And, you know, I don't give advice, but Ben, I can remember him saying to me, if you could do it all over again, what would you do different? And I said, I'd take care of my body. I said, I'm not sure that I was always at my best on Sunday or especially late in the season because I was grinding so hard. I said, I think sleep is a superpower. I think your fitness and stuff like that really matters. And I, as a play caller, didn't always feel at my best on Sunday or late in the season. Now, again, that was a generation ago when right. People were, hey, that's what you did. If you weren't working 18 hours a day, did you really care? I think there's an element of working smarter and not harder now that it seems Ben, you know, is, you know, he's a fitness guy. He takes care of himself. Everybody grinds, and it's tiring. And believe me, nobody's going to work harder than Ben. I want to make that clear. But he also understands the game of football today is a game of endurance for players and for coaches. I got news for you. It's a long season. And, you know, I think he's been at his best when his team has needed him to be at his best. And, you know, that's, I think, the only advice. I don't know that it was advice. He asked me, what would I do different? I said, you know, I'd make sure I was at my best on Sundays. And that involved sleep and rest and taking care of my body.
John, quickly before I let you go, what is life like as a head coach of the Nordic Storm? What is head coaching like in the European League of Football?
Yeah, it's great football, actually. It's an amazing league. It's a 16-team league over 10 different countries. Jack Del Rio just joined our league as head coach in Paris. Jim Tomsula is the head coach in Rhine. you know, I'm the head coach of the Nordic Storm in Copenhagen, Denmark. You're exactly right. And I get to coach a high level of football. It's about like FCS, really good FCS level football, maybe, you know, small cup. We couldn't beat Ohio State, but we'd win that FCS, you know, championship. And it's getting better every year. It's getting better every year. And so this will be, I think, the fifth year of this league. And it's a high level of football, which I think is really, it's really fun. And I get to see Europe on someone else's dime, too. So that's good.
That's great, John.
Great stuff, Coach. Really fun to catch up with you. And congratulations on your role in this, too.
Enjoy this, John.
Really absolutely.
Great catching up.
Okay. Nice to talk to you all.
That is John Shoup, the head coach in Copenhagen. That's great. Imagine that.
Imagine that. Spending Europe, traveling through Europe on somebody else's dime, doing a job you still love to do, and it's different than the NFL, but certainly a great way to see the world.
All right. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I'm really happy for him, and Chicago should really be pleased, because he's got some mental toughness as well that will serve him well in that city. I mean, expectations are high. Mm. He knows that. And, you know, I could promise you, there's nobody that's going to call into your show that has higher expectations than Ben Johnson does, and he can handle that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio.
Love that.
670 The Score. In case there is any concern about who that was John Shoup.
Thank you, Brandon.
As Brandon is letting
for
us
reminding
know.
Us who we just spoke with. John Shoup with a really enlightening interview about a guy he coached at North Carolina.
Yeah.
And gave us some perspective from his own experience in Chicago. John Shoup, for the years that he was here, and some people remember him and some people won't, but he was certainly scrutinized and booed out of town, essentially. He left when Dick Geron did in 2003, had a big year in 2001 on that staff with that season, and now gives us an idea of what to expect from Ben Johnson, who sounds like he's very relatable, pretty down-to-earth guy, and I have found out a detail about him that I find fascinating. He's ambidextrous?
You just discovered this.
I want to know this. Tell me this.
Yes.
He's a quarterback, so I'm just doing some requisite searching. He's throwing the ball in a Lions practice on the internet. Everyone can find it. With his right hand.
Okay.
And his right arm.
Yes.
Fast forward to yesterday. The Bears put on their Twitter feed a picture of Ben Johnson signing the contract with his left hand.
Mm, so either the contract doesn't count.
No.
Or he's probably...
We have an ambidextrous coach.
But he's probably like you. Like, you would naturally be left-handed.
Only I should
be. It was beaten out of you.
It was, yeah.
That was... My brother kind of had that happen.
It's my mom's fault.
Well, you just discouraged being a lefty because, God knows, it's horrible to have to sit next to someone who's eating left-handed.
It was in those days. Yes. Yeah. It's a very dated concept.
It's a very dated concept. So, apparently... Things don't move as fast in Asheville, North Carolina, as they do in the rest of the world. He was born, I believe, in Charleston, and I don't know what age he was that they moved to North Carolina, but he was kind of a schoolboy quarterback football hero in North Carolina. I believe he won a state championship unrecruited or not recruited by any big schools out of high school. He's a slight built man. And he was a walk-on in North Carolina where he played under then offensive coordinator there, John Shoup.
Yeah, he walked on, got his bachelor's in mathematics and a BS in computer science. So we have a guy that can't solve for X.
Computer science, that's about it.
Fascinating stuff. And good, we'll get to know him more. 11 o'clock, Palace Hall.
Looking forward to it.
He's addressing the media, making his impression, and... got a sense of just how far he has come. You know, John Shoup did make another good point. We remember how he kind of ended up on the Bears staff. Shoup, we're talking about in terms of being a grinder and then being elevated, promoted, and succeeding as a play caller. Ben Johnson was similarly a grinder on the Dolphins staff, a guy who was a GA at Boston College, ends up in Miami, did a little bit of everything. Became a tight ends coach. He then just kept ascending, getting more responsibilities. And I heard Dan Pompey on this radio station yesterday compare that path in the positions he coached with Andy Reid. Andy Reid doing a similar thing, well, quarterbacks, tight ends, and then calling plays and then becoming a head coach. Certainly, yes. Ben Johnson, that's an unbelievable comparison. But at 38, you know, his career is just beginning as a head coach, and you hope it's a long one.
You know, another guy who took that route too, went first, he was first a line coach, then he went tight ends, then he went quarterbacks, then he became a head coach, was Andy Reid. So it's a really good way, I think, for a coach to kind of evolve and have a complete understanding of what works.
And Andy, of course, you know, was knew Mike Holmgren and was working in Green Bay when he was a candidate to be a head coach. And the Bears had an opening that year. He ended up going to Philadelphia. But Andy was a guy that was not like he became a head coach in Philadelphia. I don't think he was paid that much money. I don't think he was treated like, oh, here comes Andy Reid. It was in Philadelphia where he made five championship games, NFC championship games, one Super Bowl, where he developed a reputation as a guy who couldn't win
the big one,
a big game.
That was it. And then he goes to Kansas City.
And he goes to Kansas City, and guess what? He couldn't win a big game in Kansas City. Then they end up with Patrick Mahomes, and now you've got a marriage of this coach that could get you there but couldn't win the big game.
All-time great.
With the all-time great quarterback.
All-time great.
And now Andy Reid is viewed as one of the best coaches in the league.
300 victories.
Yes. But I'm saying,
I know
for
what
all
saying.
Of his success,
yes,
he wasn't as celebrated, or he wasn't making the kind of dough he makes now because he couldn't win the big game. And that's eventually why he ended up leaving
Philly. Yeah.
And, you know, there was this feeling that they were never going to win in Philly.
He left Philly after the 2012 season, unemployed for about 5 minutes because yes. That was the same year the Bears fired Lovie Smith, and he was not on the market long enough for the Bears to consider him because the Chiefs pounced.
Yeah.
They pounced, and they hired him quickly, and the rest is NFL history.
You know, it's kind of extraordinary if you stop and think about the relationship between the coach and quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you look at how does Ben Johnson get this job? Well, he gets a number one overall pick in Jared Goff, who they trade Matthew Stafford because even the great Sean McVay couldn't win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff.
He was a throw-in.
So they got picks for it. They gave up a lot.
They gave up a lot, but Goff being part of that deal, he was not the central part
deal. No, he was just a throw.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. But Stafford ends up winning a Super Bowl with McVay, and meanwhile, Jared Goff ends up having a career, and they think he's just there for a year, and then they're going to use a draft pick to get a quarterback, and he ends up doing very well, in part because of what Ben Johnson did with him.
I'm glad you said in part, because I think sometimes we do get carried away with giving a coach so much credit for what a player accomplishes, but I do think Ben Johnson's role in Jared Goff's ascension is significant. So likewise, fast forward to today.
Yes.
When he talks about why he took this job, the partnership, the marriage, if you will, the football marriage with Caleb Williams, this is going to be, in the eyes of the Bears, something very special. If they didn't expect it to be, they wouldn't be paying him $13 million to get the most out of Caleb Williams. So this is their opportunity.
They're paying top dollar to get a guy that can help their quarterback reach his potential.
And his potential is the same as it was when you drafted him.
Yes.
That's the one thing I think that a lot of people will scoff at. Some people may not agree with. But if you believed that Caleb Williams was a future star when you drafted him, you just hired a coach that tells us you still think so.
That can ensure that he becomes that.
Or come as close as possible.
And I think that like the relationship between coach and quarterback, you know, maybe the best that we've ever seen was with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And you can make a very strong argument that the first couple of Super Bowls that you won with Tom Brady were actually Bill Belichick Super Bowls, because Tom was this guy that was taken famously 199th overall. He came into a situation where Drew Bledsoe was there and the quarterback, probably on the downside, definitely on the downswing. And then Tom kind of takes over after Bledsoe gets hurt. And they got the great Bill Belichick with the defense and all the rest of it. You could argue they won the first couple Super Bowls based on defense, based on the way that Bill could coach and had Tom restrained and
managed
able
the games.
To do. He was a game manager.
He was a game manager.
And
no doubt about that.
Then Tom eventually becomes Tom Brady, and now he's winning Super Bowls even after he left Bill. That's pretty extraordinary to have a coach quarterback where the coach is the great one until the quarterback develops. And by virtue of being coached and having the success he had where then he becomes, that's how you get a dynasty.
Yes, that's how you get a dynasty. And the Patriots did that because of the marriage between Belichick and Brady. And you see it with Mahomes and Reed.
No
and
question.
Not to suggest that that's what we're seeing here in Chicago,
no.
But that's what you're trying to replicate. That's what you're trying to copy, because you want that kind of symmetry between your head coach and your quarterback. And I think it helps, and this is maybe one of the lesser reasons to believe in this, but I do think it helps that he's 38 years old. I do think it helps that he's as youthful and enthusiastic as we saw yesterday during that clip. And I do think it helps in terms of a relatability or respect level that Ben Johnson is a dynamic communicator in individual one-on-one situations. So we're told, but it's easy to believe when you see things like we saw yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, listen, let's
Caleb Williams is going to love him.
Well,
because they're going to miss him in Detroit.
Oh, they're going to miss him.
They already miss him in Detroit. You can see some clips from Amon-Ra St. Brown on the podcast, and there's a lot of guys bemoaning the loss of a Ben Johnson because of his presence. And I think that word was used earlier this morning by Dan Weeder. His presence today will tell you a lot of what you should come to expect.
Dan said he likes to use the word juice.
Juice. He's a juice guy.
I'm all about aura. And you know that I'm all about the aura.
You're all about the aura. You should get one of those aura rings that measures your sleep. Bad idea for us. And also tells you how many steps you take.
The problem with one of those aura rings, I'd always be in the bad mood. Mulligan, why are you so pissed off?
Why is that brown again?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, look, it's turning purple.
Yeah.
But it also counts your steps and your hours of sleep. We don't want to know how little we slept. Okay.
Yeah, we don't
need a ring for that.
We also don't want to know how little we stepped.
I don't mind the steps part.
Stepped or
the
slept.
Sleeping part is where I struggle.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. No, that's we're what we're doing. We're like becoming friends with Sean Payton. We're doing that
we
all night.
Call at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
All right, right now, be our friend. Call the Scores contest line 312-540-0670. Be the sixth caller. And you can win a pair of tickets to see Chris Stapleton's All-American Roadshow with special guest, The War and Treaty. That's next June 28th on a Saturday, second show, Credit Union One Amphitheater, Tinley Park, LiveNation.com is where you can get tickets. Call now, 312-540-0670.
We're going to bring in Chris Chelios next. We'll talk to Chelly, Mully, and Haw on the Score.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score! BetMGM ambassador. The sportsbook born in Vegas.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And joining us now is BetMGM ambassador Chris Chelios. BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. And the Score hotline brought to you by Arturo is where Chris joins us. Your all-weather tire, Arturo.car.com. Excuse me. Chris, good morning. How are you?
I'm cold. How are you guys?
Yeah, man, I tell you.
Same.
We're hoping our hearts warm up when we get to see Ben Johnson as the new Bears head coach. I'm just curious. I don't know what number is. You must have had, I don't know, 500,000 different head coaches over the course of your storied career. How long does it take for the player-coach relationship to really take off? Is it a... Can it be an immediate thing? Does it take a long time? Have there been different lengths of time in terms of learning curve between player and coach for you?
I mean, it's different lengths of time, but every coach is different for the most part. And the relationships, you know, some coaches had great relationships with the players, others not, you know, the communication lines weren't open. So it just depends on the coach, but obviously, they got Johnson here for his offense. That was the Bears' biggest issue, trying to help out Williams and get the offense going. So, it seems like more and more coaches have better. The door's open for you as far as your opinions, and they want some input. They might not listen to you all the time, but at least they're willing to listen to you, whereas coaches 25, 30 years ago is their way or the highway. So it just remains to be seen.
Chelly, got to ask you about the Hawks. Tough loss the other night to the Hurricanes in overtime. Seth Jones over the weekend was limited in terms of his ice time, lowest numbers yet as a Hawk. Came back, played pretty well the other night. What's the future hold for Seth Jones?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the biggest thing is his contract. Stan Bowman signed him to that deal, and he makes a lot of money. He struggled last week. He had that tough game. But he bounced back pretty good. You know, did a little more physical, added a goal and two assists the game against Vegas. And then last night they had a 2-0 lead. He's definitely a very skilled, got great size. Again, I've mentioned it earlier in our shows that to play defense, sometimes if you try and do too much, you get yourself in trouble. I think, you know, he's trying to take the load off the team and put it on his shoulders, but you can't do that. You got to play within the system, and if you're a defenseman and you try and do too much offensively, you tend to, you know, get yourself and your team in trouble. So as the team improves, I think he'll settle in. He's got a great partner in Martinez to support him and back him up, but again, with his size, it goes for everybody. If you notice the last two games, Vegas, Carolina, I feel that they played more physical. They added some size with Doc. McCaleb's got good size. He's another kid that came in this year. We were just too easy to play against, so I think they realize that. They're just going to have to play more physical, and guys like Vlasic and Krejci, and they've just got and Jones, they've all got good size, these guys. They got to be tougher to play against.
Chris, we talked to you last week. You were out in L.A. You're obviously cold now, so that means you're back in Chicago. How did things go in Los Angeles? What is it like in the aftermath of those wildfires? And they're still going on. Some of them are still going on.
Yeah, I'm watching it again. And now it seems to start in San Diego. But again, this was such a tragedy. Yeah. Before it's gone through the canyons and not as many homes. But to take out a whole neighborhood in the Palisades like it did, it's pretty. And then actually to know a handful of guys, 10 to 15 people, friends that lost their houses, they're, you know, staying with friends and just scrambling, trying to, you know, get somewhere to stay. Thank God they don't have our weather. It makes it a little better so they're not freezing outside. But and again, my trip was basically preventative, you know, getting pumps and hoses and preparing for the next disaster, because it always seems like whether it's going to be rain or the waves or a fire, it's just that's what you have to deal with out there in California.
Hope for the best, Chelly. Thanks for your time. Yeah. Have a good week.
Thank you, too, you guys.
That is Chris Chelios, BetMGM ambassador. Good man all the way around.
Yeah, he was helping people out in California. Right. His house was preserved, thankfully. Just you can't really relate to what it is to go through something like that until you're actually experiencing it. And thank God we're not dealing with that here. It's we're dealing with different. It's cold. It's uncomfortable. But to deal with that kind of tragedy up close and personal, difficult. And I give him a lot of credit for, you know, his home is out there. He went out preventative, he said. But I know, right. I know that he helped a lot of people, his neighbors and everything, kind of deal with the reality.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a Chicago guy, you know, salt of the earth people. I don't know what that's like. We saw so many of those, like the whole neighborhood burnt down. You know, you're whatever your grocery store is, your school, your church. I mean, it was just extraordinary.
Your stores, you have 3 minutes to get out.
Wow.
You have 3 minutes to get out. Wow. And you grab what you can. It's just it's crazy to think that it could happen, and it's these people are going through that, and just your heart goes out to everybody out there.
No doubt about it. All right. We're going to continue with Stacy Dales. We'll talk about the Bears and the new head coach and all the rest.
She knows Ben Johnson.
She knows Ben.
Yep.
Yeah. We're going to find out more about him today. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.